So there's a section in which Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate in the moments leading up to his crucifixion. And they have a fascinating conversation. This is John chapter 18, verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. This attitude that Pilate shows when Jesus starts talking about truth is one of the sarcasm, you might say. It's a bad attitude. And what's funny is it's an attitude that feels really familiar to us today, does it not? This idea that we have to, in our culture, argue about what is true and what is not true. And there are a million reasons why that is the case, but suddenly, truth has been put on trial. And we're sort of sarcastically laughing. What is truth? It's weird that we should have to define that, and yet we do. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Well, I'm not sure. Did someone say not good? Okay. Then that part's not great, but I hope you do better. Today is a good day, but the world is a little bit crazy out there, and I just wanted to take some time to look at this idea of truth and maybe even answer Pilate's question in a weird way. And it has to do with the kingdom, it has to do with our different focus, but I want to do my best to look at this. Reasons that truth in our world today are so crazy. There are so many examples. One would be this whole COVID-19 situation, right? That all of us are confused about. We've heard different things, and one person says one thing, and another person says another thing, and sometimes my wife and I just look at each other and says, who are we supposed to believe on this? The news today, it's sensationalized. It's politicized. It's made in a form to go viral because that's the only way to attract more eyes and the only way to make more money in advertising. And the whole system is set up to perpetuate that sensationalization of everything to make it go viral. Social media complicates the picture because now we have informal news and formal news, so much and so forth, and no one really knows what to do with all of it and how to solve the problem, but we all agree there's a problem with the truth. We're confused, to say the least. One thing that I think that we don't talk about enough is that there's just more information out there than there's ever been in the history of the world, easily available to all of us. It's sort of overwhelming. We're overstimulated by everything we hear constantly from every direction surrounding us. We cannot look someplace without seeing news or ads or some kind of information to try to break through to us. Truth seems to shift and change daily and depend entirely on the perspective and the place from which you stand. And there seems to be no set of unbiased facts that can tell us, quite simply, the truth. We're all struggling to find it. Even my son has learned to argue with me about the truth. We have this book, and he opens it up, and he loves the page that says things that go, right? And it's all cars and trucks and ambulances and planes and helicopters. And I mean, he just thinks that stuff is so cool. But when he was younger, he would point at every single one of those items and say, car, car, car. And we'd say, yes, you're so smart, buddy. But now he's 16 months old and we're trying to explain to him that they're not all cars. This one's a car, that one's a truck, that one's a helicopter. But he keeps insisting, no, no, it's a car. No, Dad, it's a car. Like, I shouldn't know, you know, like he's correcting me on this. And then he gets real specific and he points at the wheels. And he says, see, car, there's wheels on it. That's not enough, buddy. It's still a truck because it has wheels on it, okay? I know we made this easy on you when you were younger, but you're going to have to get it a little more complicated. Even my son argues about the truth, and he's 16 months old. And as much as this feels like a new thing going on in our world today, truth be told, it's not new. People have always, always, always argued about the truth. Hence Pilate's attitude 2,000 years ago. Philosophers have been debating about truth for millennia, what it means, what can help you identify truth. It is at the heart of epistemology, which is a whole branch of philosophy devoted to determining what is true and not true. And ultimately, no matter how far you go with that, and no matter all the smart philosophers who try to take it on, you never can fully overcome skepticism that doubts something. In fact, it's hard to prove you can actually know anything if you talk to a philosopher. Truth is constantly on trial in different ways. Truth is at the heart of the conflict that I think we often overplay, but the conflict between science and religion, each claiming its own version of the truth. Now, I, for one, think that each of them have totally different areas of truth they're trying to seek, and I think they can work together. And so I think we overstate that conflict, but they are both looking for the truth. Truth is at the heart of the whole debate. If you remember back in the 90s, everyone was still talking so much about modernism and postmodernism and the difference in those things. And all that was about truth and how truth is hard to find based on where you stand. And so some truth is relative, but is it all truth? And, you know, so on and so forth. It could make you tired talking about it. But no matter what, whether you're from one perspective or another, truth may look a little different, but there still has to be some definitive truth, right? Truth is at the heart of the conflicts in society going back centuries and more. And so we come back to this question, what is truth? And I could stand up here and I could give you a really easy answer and we could go home. I could say, use a real churchy answer. We could pull up John chapter 14, verse 6. Do you know this one? This is where Jesus is talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And he says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the what? And the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is actually a good answer. I mean, obviously that's in Scripture. Jesus is the truth. But the hard part to explain is, what does that mean exactly for you and me? And perhaps almost as importantly, what does it not mean? Because if you're asking me, saying that Jesus is the truth does not necessarily mean that every bad interpretation of the Bible coming from every Joe Blow you know is absolute truth. I don't think that's what that means. It also doesn't mean that everything any preacher says on stage or on a screen is true. It doesn't mean that everything that the bad churches teach is true. And it doesn't mean that everything you ever wanted to know can simply be found by thumbing through these pages. There are lots of things that will be difficult to find in this book. It doesn't mean that everything that could ever be known has already been discovered and we can simply ignore any new knowledge or truth gained in the world. It doesn't mean that, does it? So when we come to church and we say that Jesus is the truth, what does that mean and why does it matter? Why is it important to state that truth is not just a set of facts, but a person? And how is that beneficial to us? And in order to explain that, I want to give you a thought experiment. And I hope you'll follow along with me because I find this a good way of sort of latching on to what we mean by the truth. So I want you to pretend for a moment. If you got to close your eyes. But, you know, you might rather look at me because I'm good looking up here. I mean, I dress nicely. That was my wife's duty. But I want you to imagine that you are one of these explorers, like, you know, like right before the Renaissance, like 1400s, like Columbus, these guys. Imagine you're one of these explorers and you are traveling around the world trying to find your way, and you're on this big ship, and all around you is the ocean. As far as you can see is ocean. And you got all these waves bumping you back and forth, and the wind blows different directions, and somehow, in some way, you're supposed to know where you're going to find yourself to some place that you wanted to go or find. And how in the world do you do that? Well, if you're one of those explorers, you look up into the night sky and you see the stars, and you know something. And so I did some research on this because, you know, I'm a fun person and I research things all the time. And I learned about something called a North Star. You guys know about the North Star? The North Star, also called Polaris, that's its proper name, is a star in the sky that's sort of at the end of the Little Dipper. And if you look at the North Star, what's really cool about the North Star is that if you took the axis on which the Earth rotates right through the very northernmost point and extended it into the sky, the North Star is like right there, within half a degree. And if you were to take a time-lapse video, right, of the sky through the whole night and sort of condense it down to 30 seconds, you know what it would look like? All the sky would rotate, all the stars would rotate around the North Star, which would stay perfectly still. That's pretty helpful. The North Star would be directly above the North horizon. I told myself I was going to come in here and figure out which direction was north before the sermon started, and I failed to do that. Would anyone like to tell me which direction is north? Does anyone know? People are telling me this way. Okay, north. We're going to picture this. This person says over here, I think you're just trying to throw me off. Okay. North. We're going to just guess, all right? North? I don't. Okay. If you were to go out in the night and look at the northern horizon and look up and find that North Star. Okay, this is really cool. I didn't know this. You would count the degrees, like out of 360 degrees up into the sky. That is equal to your latitude on Earth. Did you know that? You guys are not impressed. Okay. So if it's like 40 degrees in the sky, you're at the 40 degree latitude, which just means a lot to you, I can tell. Okay. So the way this turns out is if you continue to travel north, the star would get higher and higher in the sky, right? Okay. So that by the time you're on the North Pole, it'd be directly ahead of you. If you were to go south, 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 it'd get closer and closer to the horizon. So by the time you get to the equator, it'd be at the horizon itself. So, you're one of these explorers trying to travel the ocean. You guys are loving this analogy, aren't you? I can tell. You're trying to figure out where you are, right? And there's just so many waves, and you can't see any land, and the wind may be blowing different directions, and you're struggling, but you look up, and you find that North Star, and you know where the northern horizon is. And based on how high it is in the sky, you know how far north and south you are and where you're trying to go. You have oriented yourself based on nothing but a single star in the sky. And you know where you're going. Here's what I think. I think that when we come to church and we say that Jesus is in the truth, we're not talking about a set of stated facts per se. We're talking about a singular point of orientation that helps us know where we are in life and where we want to go next. And I know that that's not the kind of truth we argue about most of the time, but as a starting point for an honest discussion in church about truth. Because truth is more than just a set of facts that becomes dated in time. Truth is a person. a singular point that tells us where we are so that we can navigate life in a storm of information constantly bombarding us and tossing us side to side. Truth is a point that tells you where you are, unchanging forever. That's why truth in church is a little bit different. That's why Jesus can say, I am the truth. And that can at least be a starting point. That what we're looking for is not a set of statements that will become outdated, but a single person that helps us know where we're going and directs us in life no matter what comes our way or where we are. We look up and we reorient in this world. Does that make sense? That was a long way around for one analogy. Oh, last thing. Did you know that the Northern Star is more accurate than a compass? The Northern Star is never off by more than half a degree from the exact northernmost point. The compass is based on a magnetic pole which shifts around constantly. And there can be different Northern Stars at different times because the Earth's axis rotates a little bit, but the next time we'll have a different North Star would be 26,000 AD. We're in 2000, 26,000. It's amazing to me. Okay, I'm moving on. For us, that singular point is Christ. That's what we mean when we talk about the church. And if I look and think that truth should be like Christ, then I think the truth should be sometimes painful, but always full of grace. It should leave you with a bit of hope, no matter where you are in the world. And if you keep your heart focused on the truth, you'll find your way through anything. Imagine those sailors out in the ocean and then they're trying to gather bits and pieces of information and remember where they saw land last. Or, you know, some guy says, hey, I read a study that usually this time of year the wind blows this way and so I bet we went that way. And they say, yeah, but there's flaws in that study. You can't apply it to every situation, Columbus. You know, and then they're arguing about this and they say, yeah, but we had that storm and now we're all sideways. That's what our world feels like today. That all they needed to do was look up and reorient themselves. None of the facts fit together without this key piece. And yes, people can still be stupid. They could make bad decisions. They could go wrong ways. But the truth should always make them less afraid of the ocean. Less afraid of everything moving around them because they can always find their way home. And in that way, truth sets us free from fear. You guys have probably heard the famous quote from Jesus in John chapter 8, in verse 31. And Jesus says this, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. What does that mean? When he says truth will set you free, it could mean a lot of things. It means that truth forces you to humble yourself and realize there's something bigger than you in this world, which is naturally the best way to orient yourself in a way that makes this world make sense. Because as long as you're on the top, it will not make sense, and it will be scary. But as soon as you sort of abdicate that role and put God in that role at the top, you orient yourself at a better place in life. And so truth sets you free from that fear and that worry. Truth sets you free means that your mind and heart are focused on the things that matter, like your journey to where you're going and God's ultimate plan for you. And as we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, the kingdom of God. And so long as your heart and your mind are wrapped around the journey God is taking you on in the kingdom of God and building it here on earth, then all of a sudden all the outrage out there in the world about everything that's not that matters just a little bit less. Because you keep your heart focused on where you need to go and on what God is doing on your ship, in your boat, in your neighborhood and community. And that's enough. And so truth sets you free from the fear and worry of having to take on responsibility for everything else out there in the world you can do nothing about. Truth sets you free by reminding you that although you are imperfect, there is a God who loves you. Truth. Because He died on a cross to prove how much He loves you. And He's been searching for you and chasing for you and trying to love you your entire life. And you have always been running the other way. And if you would just stop for a moment and take a single step His direction, you would find the love and acceptance you need to begin to get better in this life. And so truth will set you free from everything you hated about yourself. It means that when there's something you're feeling guilty about and it's weighing you down because you have trouble with your past and regrets and the poor decisions you've made, that you do not have to feel that anymore. Because what kind of a wasted life would it be if you kept yourself bound to mistakes you made in the past and never bothered to move on to do any good to make up for it? And so isn't it a good thing that there's a God out there who forgives you so that you don't have to be chained to that past anymore, but get to instead become a new creation and move on in life to do better things in us? Truth sets you free. Truth has this incredible ability to take the weight off your shoulders, because almost everything you worry about is overplayed in your mind because of some lie you have believed. Truth will set you free from that. Because truth is not just a set of facts, it's a living thing that represents the very embodiment of God Himself and how much He loves and cares for you. And so long as your mind is wrapped around that, you will be able to orient yourself. You'll still get tossed by a few waves. You'll get wet once in a while. But you can always look up at the sky and find home. And that is a comforting, beautiful, and I dare say true concept of faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's not some exaggerated overstatement that we say to make people feel nice in church. That's a foundational rock we build our house upon. Jesus is truth. Truth directs us by giving us a point of reference to figure out where we are and where we need to go. It is not a list of facts, but a single unchanging point. It won't answer every question you ever had, but it should keep you from getting so far off course. Truth is Jesus Christ, and it sets us free by focusing on the kingdom of God and our own journey to heaven to be with Him and to restore the earth on which He has placed us. Freeing us from the outrage of the world around us, which is about anything but. Truth has been such a point of contention in our society. And I do know, this sermon will not solve all those problems. But I do know that it can set peace in our hearts. And these facts become a foundation on which we can build further messages that I hope, will help us understand a little bit more about what truth means and why God points us to Christ in that moment. So guys, look over here somewhere. It's the northern horizon. And if you go up high enough, you're going to see a singular point that literally the entire sky revolves around. Remember that point. It's special. It's going to be that point for another 24,000 years. You will not live longer than that point will be there. And if ever you get confused by the waves around you and the tossing of your boat, look up at that point and you'll know where you are. And then you can find where to go next. And then you'll be home. God in heaven, I'm sorry for the fear in my life that causes me to look in every direction but up. That causes me to look at the waves around me and to argue about wind patterns and try to look for, you know, pieces of wood coming off of the land. No. I'm sorry for being so outraged about the things of this world around me that make me so afraid day to day instead of looking up and finding home. I'm sorry for missing the point. And I'm sorry when my mind doesn't go to your kingdom first. God, help us to feel at home even in a strange land. Because we can always look up and see glimpses of it and then look around us and create glimpses of it for others. So God, build this kingdom here and remind us that that is our home. God, when we debate truth, help us to remember what truth really is. Not just a set of facts, but a living Christ and a singular point. An eternal point that orients us in life and directs us and helps us know where to go. Thank you, Lord, for your North Star. Amen.